Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right. Only one dude with the stones to walk up to this song. His name is Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. What up, Greenberg? How you doing, bud?
Super duper. How are you boys doing?
Sounds like you're doing better than Davey Martinez. Nats have lost 10 in a row, dude. They're a mess. They were losing 10-1 to the Rockies last night, which are barely a 4A baseball team. Where you at in Natstown, dude?
Well, I just did a story on the Rockies being historically bad. And if you lose to a historically bad team, you know, it's not great for you. I heard the Rizzo. I heard Rizzo on the Junkies this morning. He certainly sounded like a guy that wasn't looking to make a managerial change anytime soon. I have to think if the Nats get swept by the Rockies, that's something that we probably address. But it's, you know, it's difficult to. It takes a lot to fire a manager mid-season. I don't think that those are lightly made moves. I know we've seen a couple so far this year, but those are some really bad teams. I don't know if the Nats fall into like the really bad teams category, even though they're losing to a really bad team. So I'm not surprised that Rizzo is staying where he is. I don't think a managerial change changes anything, but the Nats they're just in an unfortunate spot. Losers of 10, the last two to a really bad team, you know, it's definitely going to get people talking.
Yeah, it gets people talking, but I think eventually, like, you keep hearing I mentioned this to Mark Zuckerman about be patient. That's the message to fans. Today is trying for everybody. Be patient. I'm buying tickets. I want to see better production. If I don't see it, if you don't fire somebody and then the fans stop going, then they're going to have to fire people.
Yeah, sometimes you make a move for making a move's sake. But I will tell you one thing that I got from the Rizzo interview, and that's never underestimate the value of winning a World Series, because he pretty much pointed to that and said, you know, the media and everybody, fans, wanted the change in 2019, and look what ended up happening. You know, that's certainly a vote of confidence. But, you know, again, I mean, this is a rebuild. The Nationals weren't supposed to be competitive or good or really do much yet. They probably won't until they spend some money. So, yeah, I mean, you can change the manager, but it doesn't mean the team's going to improve right away.
Do you think they should fire Davey Greenberg?
No, I don't. I don't think that this is a managerial thing. You look at the club, and they're going through the growing pains, right? I mean, you know, Dylan Cruz is certainly struggling to figure it out, but he's young. You know, you have James Wood, who's doing really well. You know, you have some pieces here and there, but it's a young team, and there's going to be growing pains. And, you know, it certainly sounds like Rizzo believes Davey has done it before and can do it again. And I just, you know, a managerial change is not going to mature this team. It's not going to get veterans on the team. It's not going to, you know, inflate the payroll to where they bring in superstar players. You know, just ride it out and see what happens.
But the question is, how long is winning the World Series going to be the excuse? Because that's 6 years ago. They're in a rebuild, which is in the fourth year now. It doesn't look like it's going to change next year or the following year. So I understand that, you know, like when you look at the super, super teams and you look at the super levels or even college football, people win the championship and they get fired if they're not getting things done. So, and I know Davey is not the only person at fault. ownership, front office, players not playing it the way they're supposed to play. Everybody's at fault, but one guy seems to be getting all the blame when everything is going on. And guess who's footing the bill? Fans.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly – look, I get the frustration, and I get wanting to point to something being done that says to the fans, losing is not acceptable. And that's probably the biggest communication point we have here. And when you're losing to Colorado and you have the 10-game losing streak and you're not making any changes, you're saying that the fans just have to kind of eat it a little bit, and this is the way it's going to be, and we'll change it down the road.
Yeah.
And I certainly get, you know, the needing a scapegoat. I mean, that's a part of the business. But I just don't know if fans are going to care, because if the change doesn't do anything,
right,
then you're still left where you're at, and I don't know. This doesn't have a fix. I guess that's my point. Like, there's no fix. And if it makes fans feel better to fire Davey, then I guess you have to bring that into the calculus. But, you know, to fire someone and not have any change results, to me, just doesn't seem like the smart move.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you could lean on this World Series from 2019, but Bill Belichick got fired. Bobby Bowden got fired. Coaches get fired. And it seems like they want to just get through the year. And, Zuck told us that there's a clause in his contract. Like, they seem to just want to ride it out. I feel like they have a disinterested ownership group, or at least a splintered, are we selling this thing or not ownership group. I don't know. I don't have a direct line to ownership. But to me, it's like you could fire Davey or not. Vegas still had you winning 71 games going into the season. And maybe you're underperforming that. My two biggest concerns specific to Davey are, is there a lack of vocality? Like, is his laid-back nature just not hitting the right buttons right now? Do you need someone that can challenge umps and challenge players and challenge people more? And then my biggest concern, this team is all about these young studs becoming stars, right? What does losing like this do to them? Those are questions. I don't know that there's answers, but that to me, like, if I have to point to what I find the most concerning, it's those two things.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question to ask. You know, is Davey, what slice of the blame pie does Davey have
right
for Dylan Cruz batting 196, right? And is he standing in the way of Cruz's further development? You know, that's certainly a question worth asking. I don't know what the answer is, but that's certainly a question worth asking. But I still think that that's a question that could be answered at the end of the season and not necessarily make a big change during the season.
Yeah.
But again, you know, people need scapegoats.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg. Talking with Neil Greenberg here, Washington Post. You can give him a follow at @NGreenberg. Of course, Neil joins us via the Rood guest hotline. Rood is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You know, before the Nats were losing 10-1 to the Colorado Rockies last night, you and I had texted or maybe tweeted about having a conversation about luck and luck in sports. And before we get to the football side of this, like, even just looking at the Nats, they were 15-12 last month. Now they're 2-13 through 18 days of June. Sometimes things just shift on their own, and maybe they just need a couple breaks and just get a win. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, luck is pervasive in all sports. It's one of the reasons why we love it, because it's what helps underdogs win. You know, if luck didn't exist, the best teams would always win. Like, you wouldn't have the Leicester Cities of the world, and you wouldn't have a team like the Pacers, you know, playing for an NBA championship. I mean, you know, luck is a big factor in sports. But I always point to, you know, flipping a coin, right? There's a 50-50 chance of getting heads on any fair flip. But you can go 2, 3, 5, sometimes 10 flips without ever seeing heads. And it doesn't mean that the coin is flawed or your technique is flawed. Like, sometimes it just happens. And it could happen at the worst time. It could happen at the best time. And with baseball in particular, 162 games, four at bats a game, you know, you're trying to put a, you know, you're trying to hit a ball that's coming at you at 100 miles an hour. You know, like, there's so much that goes into it that you're going to have hot and cold streaks. That's just the nature of the game. And there's just no way to divorce yourself from that in any sport. Luck is pervasive, and, you know, it's a tough one because we want, you know, as like a data analyst, like, I want to be able to quantify everything, but obviously luck is one of those things that's just very difficult to quantify.
Well, what is it? What up with the people that try to quantify luck then?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, that was part of what I want to talk about today. I mean, my colleague Sam 48 wrote a really good article about luck in the NFL and how it affects Washington Commanders. And I absolutely have no problem with people doing that. I've written about luck myself. Like, I like that part. I think the person that he interviewed who goes under the name Data with Bliss on Twitter is a very smart guy, does a lot of good analytical stuff for the NFL, really smart, knows what he's doing. I just have a difficult time like trying to say, you know, we know what luck is. We know how to quantify it, and we know how it affects teams. You know, I think we need to take a step back a little bit. My biggest problem, and this is going to sound so silly, like, my biggest problem with the win probability added stuff is that it uses decimal places. And to me, using a decimal place means that you have certainty. Like, to say something is
99.5%
means, like, you are certain. And there's just no way you could be certain with how luck affects the outcome of any, you know, team event, at bat, throw, etc. So I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with not explaining, you know, when you're saying that a drop pass adds, let's say, 38% to the win rate, win probability. What that really means is, like, the average drop pass adds that. What really happens, though, is it could be anywhere from 20 to 50%, depending on who it is, when it happens, et cetera, what the stakes of the game are. And I just think context, you know, we talked about this before, like, context is really important. And the other thing we don't know is, what does it mean? Like, if a player drops a pass, like, what does that mean going forward? Does that mean he's always going to drop a pass? Does that mean that that's the only pass he's going to drop this season? Does that mean that it was all his fault? Was it 10% his fault? Was it 50% his fault? Like, there's just so many levers that we don't know if they go up or down, left or right, or diagonally. Mm-hmm. And I just have a hard time, like, trying to put too fine a point on luck in most sports, especially football, when, you know, it's a weird shaped ball that just bounces around everywhere. And, you know, sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't.
But, like, the thing, like, for me, being in practices all my life, and I watch the guys that BS and I watch the guys who really work. And then once practice is over, there are guys who go home and do nothing pertaining to football. But that other guy goes home and studies football and studies the plays and all. And he seems to always have good luck. But the other guy don't always have good luck. And people act like work and practice and doing stuff consistently has nothing to do with the outcome. That's where I'm completely lost, where, like, what they did last year, you watch them, it completely changed from one year to the next. So, yes, it could. Luck is something that's around in this world. But a lot of times you make your own luck by the way you prepare. And I think preparation has to be counted.
Yeah, without a doubt. Luck is the residue of design, right? Like, if you can influence luck in a lot of different ways. Like you said, hard work, practice, getting out on the field, a quarterback and his wide receiver working on timing 10 times versus 100 times. Like, you know, if one of them drops a pass or is behind or early or whatever, you know, someone's going to say, well, that was just some bad luck because he was a step short. But, you know, that's the difference between 10 reps and 100 reps, right? So, you know, you have to take that into account. And you know, the other thing is, let's use the Washington Commanders as an example, not because they're local, but because how much has changed. And to say, like, you know, in 2023, you know, they were this lucky of a team, and then in 2024, they were this lucky of a team. There was so much change that happened. Like, not only can you not make that comparison, but I don't even think that it's fair to use them in the data set to talk about other teams in the future, because it was a unique situation with ownership change, general manager change, coaching changes, quarterback changes, rookie quarterback doing well. Like, there's just so many pieces that are moving around. And then we'll talk about the short sample size of only 17 games, 16 games in some seasons. Like, I just have a hard time making absolute declarations that a team was lucky or not. And more specifically, like, that, what that means in the future.
Yeah.
And again, I've written about luck. I've tried to put this context in there. But I just think we got to be real careful with trying to be certain, or at least, like, putting out there that we're more certain than we probably should be.
You know what luck is, Greenberg? When I hit my ball last year, I pulled it left, and I was like, damn, and the ball all of a sudden started to come back to the right. I wasn't trying to hit a cut. The wind blew it that way. It hit the ground and jumped in the hole. I can hit a 6-iron 185 yards, but I can't say it's going to land in that damn hole. Now, that was luck, okay? But for me to hit it consistently 185, yes, that happens all the time because I work at it.
It also means you're given a chance for that to happen.
Yeah, but the fact that it pops in the hole, that's luck. Now, if I get somebody that never picked up a golf club and they hit it in the hole the first time, that's extreme luck. Because I promise you, the next time he probably couldn't even get the ball off the ground.
Without a doubt. Like, what's repeatable? And that's kind of at the heart of data analytics for sports, right? Like, what is talent and what is luck?
Yeah.
And how do we know the difference?
Yeah.
And, you know, even with, like, dropped interceptions, which are part of that rubric, you know, that's part luck, part skill, right? Like, some defenders just have a hard time hauling in an interception.
Well, and but to Fortier's credit, I thought in that story he did a really good job of asking Dan Quinn about it. And Dan Quinn's like, yeah, you know.
That's why they move him to cornerback, because they can't catch.
Well, but he said, he's like, so one of the biggest pro-luck indicators in the data was when Juwan Johnson dropped the two-point conversion in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
where Washington was god-awful in the second half of that game, offense and defense. And if he brings that in, they lose. He didn't. And Dan Quinn's like, yeah, I guess you could call that a drop, but he also had Noah Eye hanging all over him. Like, what is Noah Eye's impact on the play?
Yeah.
And I just think context, to your earlier point, Neil, is so vital. And I think PFF is a really valuable service in a lot of ways, right? I think the formational stuff, information they can give you about how often a team runs 12, 13, what defenses do on third down. I think the stuff you can measure in football is largely pre-snap. Once that ball is snapped, there are so many people and so many things and an oblong-shaped leather ball. Like, it's just so hard to make any sort of quantifiable determination when there's 22 dudes running around trying to kill each other.
I agree.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is when Pro Football Focus gives a quarterback a high or low grade, because it's subjective, and then something objective like ESPN's total quarterback rating is completely opposite. So like Geno Smith's a good example. Geno Smith, Pro Football Focus rated 7th, and total quarterback rating were like in the 20s. So what that's saying to me is the process was good, the results aren't, and then that to me is interesting because then I need to go in there and figure out why that's happening. Like, but that just goes to show you that we're measuring different things, and you know these all-in-one stats, wins above replacement, grades, ratings, etc., really need to be the starting point of conversation and not the end point because, like you said, a lot goes into playing a game, a sport, throwing the ball around, people moving, etc. Like, we just need to really figure out what it is that we know and, more importantly, what we don't know, and then make sure that's clear when we're using these type of things.
Very good conversation,
Neil. Appreciate
you, Neil. We appreciate you, bud.
All right, love you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, brother.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow, at N Greenberg. Smart conversation there. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.